Tonight, if you have your Bibles with you, I would invite you to open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We read in verse 3, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Let's look to the Lord again in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for as we sang, the blood that you shed to wash away all of our sins. We thank you so long ago that you went to that old rugged cross and you paid the sin debt of the whole world. And Lord, it's such a shame that those who enter in at the straight gate and the narrow way are few. You would think that the whole world would be trying to attend churches and hear the word of God, but this world is in for great tribulation coming very, very soon. And we pray that in the meantime that you will help each and every one of us to understand your will for our lives and how that we can make our lives count for eternity and for our Savior. And we ask and pray these things in his precious name. Amen. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That word simplicity, you look it up in the Strong's Greek dictionary, which I often do. That's probably one of my favorite books outside of the Bible. It is, for sure. It's word 572. It's a very interesting word. The word simplicity, it means without self-seeking. Think about that. Without self-seeking. Seeking. And so the Lord is, Paul is telling the Corinthian church that as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, he was afraid that their minds would be corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ. The Lord Jesus was the only person ever on this earth who truly and fully had this simplicity, meaning he was and is forever with the simplicity of being without self-seeking. In John's Gospel, we read in chapter 8, "Then Jesus said unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things which please him." And as he spoke these words, many believed on him. What does it really mean to be without self-seeking? I also like a Noah Webster's dictionary. You know, he was called the father of American scholarship and education. He first published his, not the common Webster's dictionary that we've seen all of our lives, his first one was published in 1828, entitled An American Dictionary of the English Language. He served as a member of Congress in Connecticut, in the Connecticut House of Representatives, in the year 1800. And then he served five more years from the year 1802 to 1807. And Webster's 1828 dictionary on the word simplicity, it comes from a Latin word, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, but simplicitas. It means singleness, singleness. It means the state of being unmixed, not part of one thing and part of another thing, or compounded, such as the simplicity of metals. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus preached, "Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, we read, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world." And that word conversation also means not only what we say, but our manner of living. "We have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word." That's what Paul was writing to the Corinthian church in his second epistle. They had had terrible problems, and they got a lot of them straightened out. So the Greek word simplicity is also translated singleness, singleness of heart. And Paul, in his epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 22, said, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but from singleness of the heart, fearing God." You know, that's an amazing verse. Our manner of living, our conversation in the world, is to be for the Lord and for others. That's if we're born again and we're a child of God, that's what our purpose is in the to build up others, especially through the local church, the house of God, and to take the gospel to the ends of the world. That's what our mission is. Pastor Kelly used to say from time to time, concerning this commission of Christ that began in Jerusalem. It says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And Pastor Kelly used to imply that you can't get any more to the uttermost parts from Jerusalem and Judea than where we're living. We are in the uttermost parts of the earth. We are on the mission field. The Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Have you ever noticed how that life itself in a world full of fallen sinners is a place that's very heavy laden? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." The word labor means just days filled with toil, the heavy laden of sicknesses and pain, weariness. Our strength diminishes as older age begins to set in. You know, life most often becomes a burden when we make decisions and we haven't really earnestly prayed about knowing the will of God about this decision that I've made. But God has a remedy. God has a remedy for this. Again, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." That's the remedy. That's the remedy. Come to Christ. If you're laboring and you're heavy laden, you're not going to get rest from this world. It's only going to be more and more heavier. But Christ says, "Come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And I think that's the key. Learn of me, for I am meek. I'm meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. And the Lord doesn't want you, he doesn't want me to just be heavy laden all the time. That's not his will for us. And that's often a sure way to know whether you're in his will or not. If you just seem to be constantly finding yourself just life's a burden. It shouldn't be. It's not a good place to be living. He said, "Take my yoke upon you, and my yoke is easy. I'll give you rest. My burden is light. I will give you rest," meaning repose, ease. I'll make things easy for you. If you'll take my yoke and my burden upon you, I'll make things easy. And with Christ's yoke, you'll find restfulness. It'll be in your life. Something you can't buy. You can't pay enough money to have that. It only comes from Christ. You'll be refreshed. You can find ease. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be for you? For me tomorrow? And the next day? And the next week? And the following week? But to yoke with Christ and to learn of him, we can be assured that we'll find that he does give rest. And it's his rest. And our burdens are light. A yoke is a pair of balances that it's on two sides. Do you want to carry the burden of through life of both sides of the yoke? Is that what you want to do? You want to carry both sides of the yoke? I hope not. You'll be worn out. Every day before the noon sun is up, you'll be worn out carrying this yoke by yourself. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The Lord does not want any child of God to be walking through life with a heavy burden that is not his will for you. He doesn't want that. You do know that God has an instruction manual for you. It's called the Bible. Do you read your instruction manual daily? We have to learn of him by reading our Bibles, by faithful attendance to the house of God, which is the church of the living God. That's essential. That's not optional. That's essential. Church attendance is not optional. You can't take it or leave it. It's absolutely necessary for every child of God. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ, that's about being faithful to the greatest work on earth, bar none. There's nothing on earth that's greater than serving God. And it's His will to serve Him in the local church. We're members one of another. In Mark's gospel, the Lord Jesus said, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That means anywhere you're at, any time, any place, to every creature. People everywhere need that. They need the saving gospel. Be a missionary to this uttermost parts of the earth that we live in Southern Pines. That's what Calvary Christian School is about. That's what the Christian bookstore is about. And that's the commission of Christ to every believer. But you know what? Christ has to be first. He has to be first in your life. He has to be. He says that we are His epistle. We're known and read of all men. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At least look for open doors. I mean, people are everywhere. You have to be led in doing that. But again, Christ has to be first. First in your life. No one else. Christ has to be first. Everyone else comes after that. It must be. The Lord Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 26, if any man, and that includes in general terms, man, woman, boy, girl, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. When did the Lord say that? Did he say it one time when he was in sort of a private setting with his apostles and his disciples? When did the Lord say that? Well, Luke chapter 14, 26, we just read that. And the verse before that, verse 25, says this: there went out great multitudes. I don't know about you, but if God says great multitudes, to me, that's a lot of people. A lot of people. And there were literally thousands upon thousands of people in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there were single people, like the woman at the well. But in verse 25, he said, and there went great multitudes with him, with the Lord Jesus. And he turned and said unto them, the great multitudes, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You're not a disciple if there's anybody in this world above Christ in your heart. He has to be first. And that's how great, that's how imperative and how remarkable the Great Commission is. It's a matter of eternal life and eternal death and the lake of fire. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, his craftiness, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ, that's a condition of heart and a condition of mind, of not being self-seeking. It seems like by human nature, that's all man thinks about, including us, because we still have that old nature, but we're supposed to put it to death. I die daily. We have to do that. We have to do that. And simplicity, it also means just a state of not being complicated in reality. It's having the very mind of Christ himself. And if you had been living in his day and you had been able to observe him from day to day, it's a state of not being complicated. And Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That's a tall order. But the Lord would not have told us that if that were not something that could be a reality in each and every one of us. Let this mind, the mind of Christ, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Simplicity, as we said, it's an alert. It's about a mind that's alert. It's about a heart that is sincere. And a mind that is free from all these schemes and plots. We're trying to work our will, and we have all these little schemes and little plots. How that was not the mind of Christ. We have to have an alertness of mind, a sincere heart and mind, a mind that's free from all these plots and schemes and free of duplicity, being this and being that, a mind of honesty. And we can have that. In fact, God commands us to have that. Simplicity means just having a plainness, a pureness with the doctrines of God's word. And especially knowing how to communicate those words to sinners. That requires some Bible study to be able to know how to communicate God's words to sinners. So simplicity, again, without self-seeking. Without self-seeking. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. That means his trickery. Have you ever been tricked by the devil? Well, if I asked you, if you haven't, raise your hand. There would be nobody truthful in here if they wouldn't raise their hand. Listen, Eve was a creation straight from God, and it didn't take him long at all to work his trickery and his subtlety on her. He reasoned with Eve in the garden. He had this appearance of truth and reason. What he was saying, it had the appearance of being true and reasonable. It had the appearance of being credible, something that you can believe. But his words were filled with deceit and lies. The words of the devil are words of trickery. The words of the Lord Jesus are words of simplicity without any self-seeking. I like that word, simplicity. Simplicity, the simplicity of Christ, without self-seeking. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I thought I had some verses I wanted you to open your Bibles to. We may get to those. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, for this is our rejoicing. Our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, got to be on the guard for that fleshly wisdom. But by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, meaning it's how we live in the world and more abundantly to youward. And this is what Paul was stating right there. That should be the voice of every Christian. This is how we live without self-seeking. Our communication should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more of this cometh of evil. There shouldn't be duplicity in our thinking, in our speaking. No dishonesty, no deceit, no deception in our conversation, meaning the way that we live our lives, even when we're not speaking words. This means not only what we speak, but the way we live our lives when we're not even speaking words. What are we talking about here? Sinless perfection? There is no such thing. Not by the inhabitants of this world. Not at all. We're talking about obeying God to the best of our abilities that God has given to us. Just obey God. It's not going to just happen. You have to work at it. You have to pray about it. You have to read the scriptures and be rooted and grounded in the scriptures. What is it that makes a believer content in the Lord? It's the witness of our conscience that with simplicity and godly sincerity, no fleshly wisdom, we're living our lives abundantly toward one another. In Psalm 116 and verse 5, the Bible says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. And he says in the next verse, the Lord preserveth the simple. God loves simple people, ordinary, down-to-earth people. He loves them. He preserves them. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 128, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts, all of them, concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. How about you? How about me? Can we say that? I hate every false way. He said in the next verse, thy testimonies are wonderful. What is just wonderful to you? Just really wonderful. What is it? The psalmist David said, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. He said that the entrance of thy word giveth light or understanding. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And then in Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in his spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise. God, thank God, the Lord Jesus, thank God that he had hid those things from the wise, those who are wise in their own estimations. God hides truth from them. If they would just humble themselves and realize they're a sinner, God would reveal truth to them, but he has to hide truth. I thank thee, Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Speaking of babes, you know, children are very important to the Lord and to his ministry. You remember, it was in Mark's gospel, they brought young children to him. People wanted to bring their child, and all they wanted was for the Lord to touch them. Will you put your hand on my child and touch my child? His disciples rebuked them that brought them. And when Jesus saw that, he was much displeased. And what he said to them, he said, suffer little children to come unto me. Let them come to me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You know, no person will ever see the kingdom of God unless they humble themselves as a little child. Children, those little children that the parents were bringing just for Jesus to touch them and were rebuked, they are totally dependent upon everybody for everything. Little children, they're totally dependent of everybody for everything. And to be, he says, such is the kingdom of God. We have to, a sinner comes to the place, and you've experienced, if you're saved, and so have I, to where you realize that you're a sinner and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't change your nature. And you just have to depend on the Lord and God to change it for you. And he does. And the Lord said, told them after he rebuked his disciples, verily I say unto you, whosoever will not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. If you don't receive the kingdom of God as a little child, and you know, they're just cramming this woke culture in schools. It is just getting insane. They cram them. Be proud. Be proud. Be proud. Be proud. And he took them up in his arms. The Lord Jesus took those little children in his arms. And he put his hands on them. And he blessed them. One last example of this simplicity, this without self-seeking of the Lord. It says that the chief priests in Luke's Gospel chapter 20, in fact, if you want to turn there, Luke's Gospel chapter 20. Luke And it says in verse 20, well, in verse 19, it says, and the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable, the preceding parable against them. And they watched him. They watched him. And sent forth spies, which should feign themselves as just men. They sent forth spies to be like, we're saved people. Feign themselves that they were just men. That they might take hold of his words. That's what they were up to. I can almost see it with my mind's eye. These priests and all the scribes, they got these people together and they were telling them what to do, telling them how to handle this. It was in a public setting, and what they wanted to do was to take his words. They despised his words, and then to deliver him unto the governor. So here they come, these spies. And they asked him, Master, we know that thou sayest rightly and teachest the way of God truly. We know that you don't accept any man's person. You know, I can just see them. They probably had thought this thing out for days, because it just seemed like everything they tried to do, it didn't work. But finally, I think they thought they finally came up with a plan. So in front of everybody, somebody asked the Lord, Master, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or no? Should we pay our taxes or not? They thought they had him. The Bible says he perceived their craftiness. And this is what he said unto them. Why tempt you me? Why are you trying to tempt me? He says, show me a penny. And somebody had a penny. And I'm sure he had it. And he said, whose superscription and image is on this? And they said, Caesar's. And he said, well, then give to Caesar's what is Caesar. Caesar's, and give to God what is God. And they could not take hold of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer, and they held their peace. That was an answer to marvel about. And they did all that planning and got all those spies, and he just brought a penny out and just shut them down. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. But again, Paul told the Christians at Corinth, and he tells you and me today, tonight, there's something I fear, and we should fear it too. Lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, his craftiness, his trickery. And that brought the fall of the world, the whole world. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The Lord doesn't make living the Christian life hard, a burden. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You shall find rest unto yourself, rest for your souls. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these few moments together tonight, and we thank you especially for the Word of God that is the truth sent down from heaven. We thank thee that during these many generations, even from the times of Job or whoever was first recording the Bible, it's still preserved. It's totally intact today for us. And we pray that you'll help us to be students of your word and above everything in our lives. And we know that you can show us how to do this. We pray that you'll help us to put Christ first in our lives every day. We pray it in his name. Amen.